But I have had this on my mind for many, many, many days, and I want to preach it here tonight if God will be my helper. And I'm not a lengthy preacher, as you may have found out, but I want to do this as much justice as I can tonight. We're going to be reading from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 27 to start with. And then we'll move on to Matthew 9:15, just one verse of scripture there. And we'll do our best to minister. We went through a portrait hall the other night, and this message will sort of change topics a little bit over into it. It depends on how the Spirit leads. But let's read 3:27. John answered. He's about to have his demise. He's about to be gone. And he answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. The bride belongs to the bridegroom." And I have to remind myself of that every day. The bride, the church, is not mine. I don't own the church. I do not own it. I'm very blessed that he would put me in a position that we may describe here in a minute. But he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, I trust that I am a friend of Jesus Christ, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Thus my joy, somebody said it a while ago, therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Let's go to Matthew 9:15, and we'll take our topic and subject from there. And Jesus said unto them, 9:15 of Matthew, "Can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come that the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." I'm going to do my best tonight. I want to preach about the children of the bride chamber. The children of the bride chamber. And all the things associated and surrounding it, we'll try to fill in. But I want you to help me preach tonight. Are you glad you're in the bride chamber here tonight? How many feel like you're in the bride chamber here tonight? Amen. Well, let's pray together. God, in Jesus' name. God, if anything will be accomplished, you'll have to accomplish it, Lord. You will have to help us for this one. Jesus' name. Let me hear the church one time lift its voice and talk to the Lord. We need the help of the Holy Ghost in this room tonight. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, give him a little more praise. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Y'all got time for a teaching moment? You got time for a teaching moment? You can be seated. Man, I just feel like I want to instruct the church just because of what's just happening. Man, there are three segments of the service that the enemy does his best to bog down, to quieten out. He never wants the church to get off the ground in a worship service. If he can stop it right there with the opening song. That's why we come and pray for God to give us liberty and God to move. And so that's the first segment of the service, that if he can choke it down right there. And he'll use distractions. He'll use, and sometimes just human psychology to say, you know, lift me up here. Somebody get me. That's why I tell them at home, don't start with one of them drony old courses that's got about five words and you know, ho-hum. I mean, when we come out of the chute, we headed down the arena. We gonna get there. Get it? I always told them through the years, y'all, if y'all get it, flying high. I have the ability to level it out and bring it back down to where I need it. Amen. And the next place that the enemy moves is right now. When the preacher steps to the pulpit. You ever notice that? That seems like when the crowd starts heading back, they pinch the baby and take it to the restroom, you know. And well, I accuse them of doing that, I'm sure. But you know, that's... Am I making myself clear? If the enemy can stop it right now, and you are not focused on what I'm about when I read my text, and you don't get locked on, then I'm going to have myself a little bit of a time coming through that section of the service. Amen. And I'll have to do a song and a dance and put on a three-reading circus to get you to get your attention. I hate doing that. Amen. So I just feel like instructing this church right now. Amen. And then, when I get to the point where God really wants to move and draw everybody together for consecration and altar service and sinners need to come.
It's about over.
Start gathering up your stuff off of the pew and getting things together and where to leave my Bible and wonder where the kids are. We better get ready because it won't be long. We'll be out of here. Boy, what a way to think about an altar service. I'm rambling right now. I went to Durham, North Carolina with my family 25 years ago. We took a vacation. If you know how to spell that, I don't. But anyway, I went on vacation, and the pledge was I won't preach one time. I will rest, and we're going to have family. That was our last time that the family had a vacation together. And so we went all the way from Colorado, all the way through Indiana, down to Pigeon Forge and on out to Durham, North Carolina. And the only reason we went on to Durham is my wife said on Saturday night, where are we going to go to church? We got to go to church tomorrow. She said, isn't Brother Johnny Goddard around here somewhere? I said, well, it's 300 miles, but let's go. So we drove from the Smokies over there, and I don't know why I'm telling you this whole story. But when I went in and sat down in the middle of his Bible lesson, old fashioned, he has a Bible lesson, and then he preaches. Whew. And sometimes a man preaches five times a day. Five times, teach or preach. And so that makes me tired just thinking about that. But he was preaching, and he had stopped in the middle when I was sitting in an alcove like you folks over there are. And when you want to hide out and you don't want to be noticed and you don't want to, you hide out under them alcoves. And that's a whole nother church. I'm having a good time at their expense, but I was sitting back there with my family. He just stopped and he said, I tell you what, he said, I might have believed that Jesus Christ would come and sit down there, but I never dreamed I'd see Tommy Johnson sit there. And of course, I didn't call. I come unannounced. And so in the break between service, he asked me to preach. I said, oh, I done promised I wouldn't. He understood that. But we did sing, and we had a good time. And then he started preaching. Here's what I want to come to. Man, that place was full of sinners. And when he preached old-fashioned evangelistic, it was weeping and preaching, and boy, I mean, he had those sinners, and he has this all stand. When he said, let's all stand, two families, prominent church families, just headed for the back door. Just headed for the back door. And I know how he felt, but I don't know whether I'd been this brave. He said, hey, where you folks think you're going? You get back in here and sit down. I'm giving an altar call. You know, the tall, gentlemanly Johnny Goldare said, "Now, I'm trying to get them to come this way, and you're taking them that way." Is this a good time to teach a lesson? Man, when the friend of the bridegroom, hallelujah, boy, listen, the Lord Jesus is reaching for people. It's the pastor that's the vessel that's reaching for people. And we ought to give, we got a few minutes to help some sinner find the altar. We got, y'all start walking toward the altar and saying, "You need to come go with me. You're the best thing you'll ever find is down there at that altar." Hallelujah. Well, we have a scenario here. I guess you can see I am loose tonight. I'm liable to go any direction. I'm liable to fold this up and go someplace else. But I'm feeling in the Holy Ghost tonight to talk to you just a little bit. He said, John said that I'm not him. And I've told you again, I am not the Christ. But he sent me. And he said, "As long he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy fulfilled." Man, there is no greater feeling to a pastor, which is represented right here by the friend, to know that the joy of the Lord is in this house, because tonight they heard the voice of the bridegroom. We have not done what we need to do if we don't let you hear the voice of the bridegroom in this message here tonight. I want you to hear him speak and know, is it going to be joyful to me if he speaks? He speaks. And so, if you will, let me preach just a little while. I've already promoted my thought, but it was a Jewish thing in their legend, in their history, that the bridegroom was espoused, or had espoused his bride to him and chosen her, and he went away, as the Bible described, and he left. As long as the bridegroom is here, we're not going to fast. But as soon as he's gone, and he's gone, he said to prepare a place for us, that where he is, he went to fix a bridal suite. Boy, if you see John the Revelator describe it, he's fixing quite a place to take his bride to. Lord, don't let me fail. I want to be in the bride. I want to be in the bride. But he put in charge. And in Judges 14:20, you can see that when Samson, we're not going there, but when Samson went off to war, that his parents chose his friend to watch over his bride while he was off to battle. That's just one example. It was true that there was the friend of the bridegroom. He had a duty. He had a duty that he was to watch over the bride and the interest of the bridegroom. He was to discharge all of his energies, if necessary, to protect the interest of the bridegroom. And to make sure she didn't flirt with somebody else. To make sure that she was properly attired. There's just so many duties he had. Make sure she was fed. And you know, when the bridegroom left, he left the keys to his storehouse. And you heard that described this morning. When he put the ring on his son's finger, it wasn't his finger. It doesn't say that. On his hand. If you study that, you'll see that there was a little bag of sorts that was strapped to the wrist, and he would strap that to the, he strapped one of them on to the prodigal son when he got back and said, "Here, son, I'm restoring you. I'm putting a robe on you. You put it in order today like it was. I'm going to give you shoes. But I'll tell you what, while the last thing I want to do, I'm going to give you the key."
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's what it was in there. The ring was a key ring of sorts. And it had within it, it had the key to the storehouse. My. And the bride has the key to the storehouse. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. My. I tell you what, some of us need to turn the key and go in and get us a little joy off of the shelf. You need a healing? We got the key to the storehouse. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My. Why don't we go to the storehouse? He left us with the key. The key is the mighty name of Jesus. And when we call his name, we unlock doors. When we call his name, my. We got the keys. We got the keys. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Use the keys. Use the keys. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus.
Glory. Oh, yes.
Boy, I feel good in the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can be seated. And so we are the children of the bride chamber. Here we are. Man, I wonder how many churches go through week after week and they never reach for a key. I walk out through a little hallway going through my garage, and I reach up here on a little hook behind a closet door, and there's a key there. And I go over across the street to a mailbox that's on a little stand over there, and I get my mail out and I bring it back home. Sometimes days will go by. Days will go by. And I said, "Wait, I better go use my key." I walked over there and didn't have the key with me. I had to walk back across the street there a block or so and go get the key. Because can't get any mail without the key. Yeah, I could preach on that a little while too. But boy, it's time some of us use the key a little more often. The key is prayer. In Jesus' name, if you ask anything in my name. That's praying right there. That's praying right there. And we need to pray. Amen. You know, the church is so, why should we even be oppressed? Why should we kowtow to the devil when we got everything we need? He left his bride in the bride chamber. He left her with everything she needed to sustain her till he comes back to get her.
All right. Yes. Hear this.
We're not struggling. Quit struggling. I told you this the other night. You quit getting in confrontation with the devil except to let him know you're under my feet. Yeah, that's how Paul described it. Yeah, he described Jesus Christ as being there and has all power and authority. And he said he is the body. Or he is the head and we are the body. And then he goes on in Ephesians to describe that he hath put all things under his feet. Well, if we're his body, where does that put all things? Hallelujah. You know, get that place in Ephesians there where it talks about that. Ephesians, first chapter is part of it. And let's since we're there, we landed there, let's go. Man, we got keys.
We've got keys.
He left us with keys.
Yes.
And the friend of the bridegroom's getting a key here tonight. He's getting a key. Ephesians, I don't know which verse it is. You have to help me. Even I want to find the part about the enlightened, being enlightened, that you may know what is the...
Brother Doug, help me.
Yeah. Yeah. I find it's probably got it marked in my Bible here. And, you know, this is not in the script.
All right.
But I'm not a script preacher. Yeah, just go ahead. Well, no. Let me see where we are. Let me see where we are. Oh, here we go. We'll find it. And here we go. Chapter 1 and verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding. Now you can pick up there and read with me. Being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. There's some things there that we don't even explore. The inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to who? To usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Yes. Boy, if you talk about that, that's a whole world of preaching right there. Yes. But we got to be enlightened to see it. Somebody get your eyes open. You're not some poor little measly church. This is the bride chamber. We got the keys to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and everything that is a name, not only in this world but in the world that is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Where does that put you, devil? That puts you under our feet. Under our feet. Under our feet. You know, while we're here, we might as well visit. We might as well visit a little further. Amen. Let's go to chapter 3 and let's look there. This is not in the script, but here we go. I feel this. I feel like telling somebody. You claim to be in the bride chamber, and we're the children of the bride chamber. How could you not be happy that, and how could you not? Well, he left us all these opportunities. And here we sit like we're poverty stricken. Sit with our head down. And if you want joy, you can have joy. If you want victory, you can be victorious. It's in the storehouse. It's in the bride chamber. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 9. If this turned to a Bible study, I don't even apologize. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody read the next 5 words. To the intent that now. To the intent that now. When is now? Brother Riley, interpret for me. When is now?
This present moment. Right now.
You mean back, you know, you mean like my favorite way to say it, like right now.
Right now.
Right now. It's right now. That's the way we say it in Oklahoma. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, when Daddy said, I want you to go out and feed the cows now. That don't mean tomorrow. That don't mean later tonight. That means better. You better head for the feed bucket. Amen. You better get ready. And he said to the intent that now. This is our present now. We are the church. We're in the bride chamber. We are children of the bride chamber. Here we are right here, right now. So to the intent that now. Unto who are we at again? Right back where we're in chapter 1. To the intent that unto principalities and powers that are in heavenly places might be known by the church. By the church. By the church. Let's go find the church. Where's the church? Well, we all claimed that we were the children of the blood chamber. We all claimed that. And he said, I'm going to tell you to the intent that right now might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Oh, we got a thing or two to show to this, the powers of the principalities of Augusta, Kansas.
Right.
We're in charge here. We're in charge right now, right now, right now, right now. We're in control of this situation. You don't have control of this church in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hear the friend of the bridegroom. Hear him tonight. Hear the preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
My, 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 my. We shouldn't have another dead service. We should have another time where we're sitting. Oh no, oh no. When, hey, when we come in here, we're going to show the devil a thing or two. When we out there in the Walmart store, we'll show the devil a thing or two. When we walk as the bride of Christ, hey devil, you just don't know who you're talking to. We'll show you right now. And I'll tell you another thing. When the devil attacks the church, I hate to see bullies pick on one person. I tell you what. When y'all sit down. I'm into bear tails now. Back when Mama Jay and I were busy every day, I was in my office. She's down to school. She wasn't at school. She's doing something else. But they come and got her first. Reason is they knew they'd get something done. They come and got her. But what had happened is we used to have three modular buildings back there. Y'all remember them. And we had a sidewalk built through there. And it was open campus, you know. Well, these kids come from the school over there. And there's a whole gang of them. They just walk by. And as they walk by, some of our boys are standing there, and it was kind enough to step off the sidewalk and let the punks come by. And just as this one approached the boys, it happened to be my son that he decided he just took a swing at him. And just, he hit him. He punched him hard, nearly knocked him down. And then they took off running, and they told Mama Jay about it. Oh, no. Oh, no. Where'd that punk go? You know, I mean, call the police. Oh, no. No, I'll handle this job all by myself. Man, this is vigilante committee. And so, I think Brother Burgess was there as a youth pastor back then. And so, all of a sudden, we was all out there. And I saw my wife going around the corner of the lot, hitting that street over there, old Monica. She was going down that sidewalk. I said, we better go find. She's by herself. She's out in front of everybody. And she's waving her fist, said, you come back here, you little punk. You're not going to do that and leave. He just kept walking. She just kept walking. And I heard her, you know, I got in my car and took off to find out. I heard her saying, you can walk all day long, but you won't. I'm going to follow you. I'm coming to your house. I'm going to tell your parents about this. And I'm telling you, he went off down through the neighborhood, and I couldn't get her. I'm telling you, she's like a hunting dog on a trail. You don't jerk her off of that. She went down there and finally marched right up on the steps when she saw the boy go in, and she said to that lady, said, he just came through the parking lot. There were witnesses. He gave my son a concussion, and we need to talk. She said, I have nothing to say. He's a big boy. You know, that's the attitude. Man, protect the, you mentioned it, just harbor him. But I just thought about that. Who's in charge here? Who's in charge here? Devil will chase you to kingdom come, but you're not going to mess with God's people. We're in charge here. Don't trespass against God's. Well, I don't know why I feel like saying this, but some of y'all let the devil get away with everything. And then you go testify for him. Here I'm back on that subject. You go give him the praise and the glory of how depressed he's made you. And how down you are and how messed up you are because of the devil. He loves it when he hears churches, that's all they talk about is how defeated they've been and how the devil worked against them. I told our church leaders, I said, don't testify for him. Don't give him any acknowledgement. Slewfoot needs a good ignoring. Because the church now has the authority and the power over him to defeat him. I feel like I'm supposed to be in New York City by now, and here I am way out here in L.A. I got to catch a plane and get back here. Y'all stay with me just a little while? I just feel in the Holy Ghost. Feel it in the Holy Ghost. Man. And so the friend of the bridegroom has responsibilities. You know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 and 1? He said, I just would to God you'd bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preaching another Jesus, which we've not preached, and you received another spirit which ye have not received, and another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. He said, that's not what I espoused you to. When you see folks flirting with certain things, I don't like anything about the world that's out there, the religious world. I don't like the formality of some. I don't care for the catechism of others and the ritual that they go through. I just don't. I'm sorry. That's not what I espouse my church to. I didn't espouse you to charismatic music. I didn't espouse you to the. We don't go there to get our ideas. What's wrong with a good old original music of the bride chamber? Hallelujah. When we worship God, praise him. You know, a bride, at least some of them that I've witnessed and I've pastored and married, performed lots of ceremonies, but you know, I haven't seen very many brides that come to church just... Man, from what I see, especially as the wedding gets closer and closer, that's party time almost every night. I'm not talking about worldly party. I mean, let's go shopping. Let's go get this last little bit. All the excitement that's in the house. All the excitement that's in the house. And you know,
yes, sir.
Do y'all even have a clue what I'm trying to say tonight? Wake up and smell the coffee. Yeah. You never going to build a church, have a church, till you start acting like the bride with joy. Joy, joy. No wonder John said, well, I see, my joy is full when I hear the bride talking about the bridegroom, when I hear them rejoicing about the bridegroom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, I tell you what, if it was back home, we'd do something. You know what I'd say? Real loud. I learned this from Von Morton. You know what I'd say? Joy break.
Yeah, joy break.
And out there and at home, when I shout joy break, everybody takes a little break from their depression and their routine worship. And you know what we do? We just shout and dance and run. Woo! Glory to God. We'll have a joy break. Joy break. Joy break. Joy break. Joy break.
know. Try that sometime. Jailbreak.
That's what you need.
Boy, you get loose from it. You get, oh, and the devil's gone. He's gnashing his teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, boy.
Yeah.
They're loose now.
Yes, sir.
I'm just telling things. I should be preaching, but
oh, this is right.
I went to Korea in 89 to preach a camp over there. It's way out in the boonies and prayer camp. Y'all be seated. And I can say this now, it's many years gone. But I went there and labored in the gospel. After Brother Bernard, elder, left there, it fell into the hands of committees. And I ain't going to go into that. But boy, I'm telling you what, like Uncle George Anderson used to say, you know, Tommy, it sure is tough sledding when there ain't no snow. Yeah. And there weren't no snow there. Nothing was sliding and moving. And I preached and I preached and I sweat and I preached and I sweat and I preached. And during the daytime when the other teacher was there, that's when the tube got control over there and received national approval by the nationalized work. And I come back, brother, I don't need to be talking preachers about that, not the church. But, you know, it had a negative effect. There's all up there on watching the tube while the Bible study's going on downstairs.
Well.
And so, boy, it got tough. It got rough. And at night, the presiding whatever, there was a bell up here. Remember Sunday school bells? When you say, believe it's time we started our service this morning. Ding, ling, 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 ling. If they got to making any kind of noise in worship, he'd ring the bell. Quiet down, quiet down, quiet down. He'd ring the bell. Ding, 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 ding. And so he got up there the final night. He said, where is the bell? Where did the bell go? I said, it's right here. And it's not going to be in your hand tonight. Because I'm going to preach and you ain't going to ring no bell on me. Controlling it. And so I started preaching. And those people started worshiping. I gave them liberty to worship. This is the bride chamber. Man. And they began to worship and they began to praise. And that thing cut loose. I'm telling you, it got wild. It got wild. And at midnight, they were still praising. And at 1 a.m., I done give out and went to sit in the car. But on my way out to the car, I walked by the nearest trash can. And I threw the bell in the trash can. Whatever his name was who was over there then, he come back by to the car about 2 a.m. You could still hear him wailing, and the bride was having herself a blast. She was rejoicing about the bridegroom. She was worshiping the bridegroom. She's longing to be with the bridegroom. Hallelujah. And she was having the time of her life. And whoever that was, Banta, he come to the car and he said, they'll never be controlled again. They'll never be the same after tonight. And he said, thank the Lord for that. Amen. Now, if they can ring a bell and shut people down over there, there ain't no bell being rung here tonight. What the matter with you? This old church. You know what we need? We need another joy break. We need another joy break. We need another joy break. We're having a party in the bridal chamber. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God.
Woo! Woo!
Man. My, 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 my. Woo, woo. I get jealous over a church with a godly jealousy when I see them given any kind of attention. When what they do in life supersedes what they do in the church. When their activities of the world and their desires of the world supersede their desire for Jesus Christ. I heard them talking about passion. I preached a message just recently on that, and I almost thought maybe I'll change my mind. But I feel to tell you, you got to have a passion for worship. You got to have a passion for church. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My, 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 my. Praise God. I want revival, Brother Abernathy. I want revival. It's not going to come to a dead, disconnected church who has no desire toward the bridegroom. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 You presented three daughters as brides to a bridegroom.
Yes.
And it was why you give me a little description, but you know, well, you've seen men come say, well, I've never met him, I've never met Austin, or I've never met Rick, and that other character you got over there in Georgia, that what's his name in Georgia, yeah, I can tell you this, that Brother Riley has witnessed more than once. I'll show you a picture right here. And now they got cell phones. There he is right there. Oh, this one.
yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Here we are, and there we are. And, well,
yeah.
And they go so excited about the bridegroom.
Yes. Right.
My, this week you and I got excited about the bridegroom. He started showing you portraits and took you through the art gallery and said, here he is. And Friday night, I took you through the Faith's portraits and photos. And my, we're excited. Some of you need to get your photo album out and say, here he is right. Is right here. Let me show you. Let me show you him. Let me show you him. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. My Lord and my God.
I have never. I don't remember when I veered so far off from my notes. But I looked and I saw a scripture that I think I'll use something here. And it says, while the bridegroom tarried. I think I better talk to this about this just a little bit. And that's this. In the old Jewish world, there is a setting in scripture that describes, it's Matthew 22, where his servants went out and bid everybody, come. Come from the highways and the byways and come to the marriage. The servants went out in the highways, that's children of the bride chamber. They went out and they found he had prepared a great feast. And they went and got everything they could find and brought it in. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Matthew 22:10. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man who had not on the wedding garment. Now this seems kind of cold and cruel. And he said, friend, what are you doing in here? Not having a wedding garment on. And he was speechless. Unless you understand the custom or the culture of that time, that when folks were bidden to a wedding and to be part of the wedding party, it was not like you do. Well, the other day, they mailed me a tie that I had to take. It's not this tie. This is much prettier. No, I'm just talking. But they may, and if you're going to be part of the platform, you know, They want you to wear that tie to their wedding, make it all match, which I thought was kind of cute and good. And they'd have got married anyhow if I hadn't even wore a tie. The custom was back in this culture he's talking about that when you were bidden to the wedding, they took wedding garments. And if you said, yes, I'll be there, here you wear this to the wedding. You wear this to the wedding. They didn't even have to go out and buy it. There was no excuse for this man to come to the wedding improperly attired and not wanting to look like a part of the wedding feast. I want to look like I belong in here. I want to look like this is... Man... What's that song saying? I've made my preparation and I have my wedding garment on. Hallelujah. I tell you what. And so it's not as cruel when you ask him, why don't you have the wedding garment on? Because you were furnished one to come in here. It's one of two things. Either you weren't invited, you were invited and given a wedding garment, or you're trying to come up by some other way and you're the same as a thief and a robber. You have tried to sneak in here. Whew, I'm kind of getting tired, but I'm going to preach a while more. Is that all right? Is that all right? And so there's no excuse. If there's no excuse for anyone sitting here tonight. John 3:5, what does it say? Quote it for me. John 3:5, everybody quote it. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. We know what born again of the water is, baptism in Jesus' name. He told Nicodemus, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you can't see the kingdom. You can't get in here. You're not part of the bride. You're not part of the bride. That, you know what? That's not cruel. That's not legalistic. That's simply the wedding garment. And we're trying to furnish everybody. We're in the highways and byways. Say, come on to the wedding party. Come on to the wedding. We want you to come. How do I get there? No, you can't just go do catechism and work your way in. No, you can't go accept Christ as your personal Savior. That's not even in the Bible. But we got a Bible garment. We got one that fits. We got one that matches the Bible. We got, yeah. And so, get your wedding garment on. If I'm assuming everybody in this room has been baptized in Jesus' name. Everybody here been baptized in Jesus' name. Wave your hand if you've been buried in the water in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, that's the wedding garment. That's how you get in. So, let me go another phase. Boy, I'm telling you, I was really going to preach a whole lot on some of this, but I got on that other trail that I felt so strongly about, and I ain't done with it yet. But you hear me. You hear me. When we're here waiting. You're here waiting. And we're waiting for the bridegroom to come back. You heard what John said. As soon as he's gone, then we're going to start fasting and we're going to start making preparations and getting ready, and we'll be in the bridal chamber. We'll be in the church, and we're waiting to hear him. We're waiting to hear him. When I was a kid, I remember hearing them saying, they had a kind of different sound. You know, it's something you don't hear much about in these modern songs.
All right.
You don't hear them singing about the coming of the Lord. But boy, when I was a kid, I could hear them saints sing, I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my King, and take me to my home beyond the whatever it was. Amen.
Yeah.
Huh? Remember that? Lord, don't let me fail. I want to be in the bride. We sing songs like that. We used to sing, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak,
battles are won. We'll shout the victory, break through the blue, some golden day break. Hey, ain't bad. For me, for you. We should sing those songs of depth that reach, the soul reached up. It's kind of like a bride on the phone with the bridegroom saying, oh, I can't wait till you come from Washington and get me. I can't, both of them come, the dirty rats, man. And then the other from Georgia. I can't believe it, man. But he got the three of the most beautiful daughters you ever met, if you hadn't met them. And one time we'd tease him. Because every one of them was over 1,000 miles away. Poor old Riley. I'm not being disrespectful. But you see, boy, when they'd call, oh, you didn't have to guess who was on the phone. There was a different sound come out of them girls when he was on the phone. And Dad didn't even have to ask, who are you talking to? Sometimes the friend of the bridegroom has to say, who are you talking to? It don't sound like you're talking to the bridegroom. Boy, I am messing things up. I am in trouble. I guarantee you I don't get nothing to eat after church. They go send me away from the table after a while. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, where's the pride? Where's the enthusiasm of the bride? Why is it she in her chamber sewing and getting ready and watching her garments? And John said, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment. Because he's coming after a bride that's without spot, without wrinkle. My. And we need to get in here. I guarantee you, if it was in the house, that every one of them daughters went to the closet every day and said,
look here.
There it is.
Yes, sir. Standing for that mirror.
Yep. This is what I'll be wearing. You've seen it, haven't you? Am I bringing back haunting memories? Yes. Am I breaking Daddy's heart? It's all right with me and my friend Brother Riley have a little fun here tonight. At his expense, of course. but you can see me and him never have a moment of frivolity at all. Yeah, we're always serious. But you can see, I just don't understand a church that don't, they don't look at their garments every once in a while. This is, I got my wedding garments. I'm ready for him to come. Ready for him to come. And while the bridegroom tarried.
Oh, my. Yes.
While he tarried.
Yes.
You know, they didn't have cell phones and emails and all kinds he said, I'll be back. Yeah. And you never knew when he was coming back. And at midnight, a cry came. He finally arrived. Behold, the bridegroom cometh! It shook the chambers and the attendants of the wedding. They said, go ye out to meet him! And they all arose. And five were wise and five were foolish. And it depicts something very important there. Five, they all had lamps. I said they all had lamps. All 10 of them had lamps. But only five had oil in the lamp. There's lamps all over this city. They got steeples and crosses and all kinds of programs and everything. But look, you've been around long enough to. What does the oil represent? What does the oil? It represents the Spirit. And it's a shame that we in the bride chamber are letting our oil get a little low these days. They need to be rejoicing. There needs to be the fullness of the Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Seek ye out seven men for these matters that are full of the Holy Ghost. The church is full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Boy, I tell you what, I hear the cry. I hear preachers wailing. I hear your pastor. You can get near him. And you know what? You know what his spirit is saying to you? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. I heard it this morning in this man. Bridegroom, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm pleading with you. I'm talking about it tonight. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. How many of you over there, your pastors recognize you to preach? Raise your hand. Okay, come stand right over here and face that congregation. Here's three more and myself. I tell you, you got one back there? Where's he at? Okay, you can either stay there or come up here. We don't care. But hey, you got to do something with me. Come stand right there so you can. Back.
I tell you what.
Come on, come on.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
You know what we're doing? You know what we're telling you?
We tell you, here he comes. Here he comes. Go ye out to meet him. Go ye out to meet him. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to stir up the church. His coming is imminent. He's coming around the bend any minute. He's coming down that trail. We've had a runner come and say, he's just right there. He's just right there. And so that somebody cries out, behold, behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Yes.
Woo. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. What are we going to do now? We're going to go out along the path. And we're going to light a light for the coming of the Lord. And if you have no oil, there'll be no light. The responsibility of the children of the bride chamber is to go out and say, this is the way, right this way, right this way. I'm bringing you to him, and he's coming to you, and we're showing you the path. We go out in the world and say, hey, we got a pathway to the church. We know. God. Oh, God. I got to be in the bride. I'm going to be in the bride. Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Yes.
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 Free.
Yeah. Oh, do you believe it?
Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. That's a cry. That's a church, Lord. Keep me full of the Holy Ghost. Keep me ready in every season. Keep me ready, Lord, for the... Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah! There are people that take the church through getting beat down, beat up. And we are weary. We long for the coming of Jesus Christ. We long for him to come. But my head's still up. My spirit's still joyful. When you come into the bride chamber, you hear the sounds of a delightful bride. Hear the sounds of a rejoicing bride. Rejoicing over the coming of the bridegroom. Bridegroom, bridegroom. I've told you about the friend of the bridegroom. That's the pastor of this church. And he's going to watch you because he's espoused you. Almost every one of you were espoused to Jesus Christ by that man right there. From what the history tells us of this church, almost every one of you were introduced to Jesus Christ. And he espoused you to the true church. He didn't espouse you to a triune Godhead. He didn't espouse you to some pseudo-religion. He didn't introduce you to another Christ. He introduced you to the one true God. He told you that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yeah. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You're complete in him. I don't know where to take this. Musician, come. Come. You know what? I don't know. I don't know what I'm feeling right now. I don't want it to turn into a heavy, mournful. I'm not feeling that. And I feel a seriousness. But I think for the next few minutes when we sing and worship, we ought to be showing him we are rejoicing to be in the church. We are so happy to be a part. We restore to this church the joy of your salvation. Why do I feel that in the spirit? I tell you what, when the joy of living for God is gone, your strength to serve him is gone. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when you don't have joy, no wonder we need to have some joy breaks. We need to rejoice in him. We need to rejoice in him. We need to praise him. We need to, oh, I'm so happy to be in the church. I'm so glad to be a part of the bride. Could you show him right now how happy you are to be in his church? Could you demonstrate it? Demonstrate it in a dance. Demonstrate it in leaping for joy. Demonstrate it. Let him know, hey, I'm in the church. I'm in the church. I'm so glad, so glad, so glad, so glad, so glad I'm in the church. Did y'all ever notice that when Solomon had built that temple, and it was built according to specifications given by David, and it was so beautiful and glorious, and the queen of the south came up, and it blew her mind. She said, I've seen a lot of wonders. Half has never been told. Never been told. And she started describing something. She said, these, even thy servant, look at how they ascend and descend. And she said, happy. She said, what? Happy. Happy are these thy servants. Happy servants. Who ever heard of happy servants? Not back in them days. They were slaves. They were beaten. They were beat down. But she said, this beats in vain. Where she come from, buddy, they cracked the whip over their servants. They had control of their servants. And she said, I ain't seen nothing like this. You ever see how they go up to the worship service? You ever see how they come out of the worship service? You ever see, happy are these thy servants. Oh! Well, I tell you, Pastor, I'm just yet holding on. You know, the devil's been after me all week, bless his sweet name. I've been in the battle with the devil. You need to have one more battle with the devil, and then he'll understand I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand.
Come on. Come on, let's rejoice tonight. You got more to rejoice about than you have to cry about. Hallelujah. That's it. Come on, let's come for worship tonight. Sing. Sing.
It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory.